Miyakoto, welcome to Worldviews.
Thank you very much.
So I want to start by looking first at your background. You were born and raised in Mozambique.
Yes.
But you started studying science. It looked to me like you were maybe going to become a doctor. You're studying medicine, biology. Yeah. But you became a writer instead.
Yeah, I was wrong. And those two different moments, I was wrong. I was wrong thinking that I should be a doctor. I didn't become a doctor. I interrupted my studies, not because I wanted, but because at that time in 1972, I belonged to this liberation movement for the independence of Mozambique. And that's whose name is Frelimo until now. And Frelimo asked me, they don't ask me, they said to me that I should interrupt the studies and go to a newspaper, try to infiltrate, that was the name, the newspaper. So I become a journalist, not because I wanted, but because I was said to do.
It was your assignment. You were assigned as a journalist.
That was my commitment.
Commitment. That was your commitment, okay.
And I did it with pleasure, let's say. I don't have any regret on changing my life the way it happens. But then I, as a journalist, I also interrupt because then I in a certain moment, I come in a collision with that, you know, what happening, what was happening in our, let's say, revolution. I lost my trust. So I come back to the university again and I become a biologist. That's what I am. That's what I do as a profession.
So let's talk about your experience, though, during that revolution, during that independence movement. Mozambique, of course, was a Portuguese colony, and won its independence and had then a brutal civil war. So tell us a little bit about that experience, what that was like, and then maybe we could get to how that then informed the work that you did later in life.
Yeah, that was really, we cannot describe the horror. It was 16 years where we are surrounded by, not just by the war, but what the kind of fear that is very ancient. We learn to suspect of the others, the all others. And I remember that during those years, there's nothing to buy in the shops. So the first thing that when we came out in the morning to work was, what should I bring to my house, to my children? And then at the same time, there was values. This is a very big contrast because at the same time, some ethic values were still very present. And the way we were helping each other in the cities that are surrounded by the war was really something that I should say I missed that because sometimes we think that the moral misery comes from the material misery, but it's not so linear.
So can you expand on that a little bit? I love what you just said, the moral misery coming from material misery, but that's not so.
Not always.
So where is it coming from then?
I think there's a kind of a system. Look, in Mozambique, we don't have a word to say poverty. A poor person is called Shisiwana, which means orphan. So a poor person is someone that doesn't have that kind of system of relationships, social relationships, family, the friends, the neighborhood. So I think that's what is now lost. People don't trust. People don't have this kind of web relationships. And that's where then it comes to the situation where you should survive by your own, okay, without expecting nothing from the others, okay?
So in your work, in your literary work, you tend to focus a lot on identity issues.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that relates to that experience that you've had and just this subject of trust that you were referring to and the kind of moral and material dilemmas of life. But the search for identity and the construction of that identity. Tell us a little bit more about how that has influenced your actual written work.
Yeah, a lot. I thought in the beginning that was important to find real identities. I'm speaking in plural because Mozambique has such a big diversity of cultures and languages and religions. And I thought it was a quest for a writer to find that identity. Then I realized that it is always a false quest because there's a lot of identities, and it's a kind of utopic vision that we will never find that single identity. It's always, and it helps me very much to be a happy person because I accept that I am a diverse person, and more than one identity, I have stories, and those stories give me different points of view.
So it's so interesting how you're using this concept of identity not only as a personal construct, something that, you know, we're multiple people all at one time, right? We nest our identities. We perhaps identify with different things at different levels and depending on the role we're playing at any particular time, right? Yeah, a certain identity emerges. But that reflection of personal identity is also evident in national identity. I mean, you started out by saying Mozambique has multiple identities or it's a community, it's a country of many different kinds of people, backgrounds, histories, language. So how to manage all of that without having identity crisis, right? Not only personally, but in terms of your nation. I mean, that's what Mozambique has clearly struggled with over the years. And obviously we as individuals struggle with that over the years.
I think if we accept that we are so diverse and we do not impose one single identity, we have the password, let's say, to travel around these identities, different identities. And that way of traveling, that voyage is so important and so pleasure. We take such a pleasure while traveling throughout identities then we realize that what is important is the way and not the destiny. It's the trip, not the destiny.
I love the way you put that, traveling around different identities and how important that voyage is. Well, I think something else that you've emphasized in your work is the role of memory, or actually rather than memory, it's kind of the opposite. It's forgetfulness. Yeah. You've talked about in previous conversations the importance of forgetfulness and actually not even just, you know, random forgetfulness, but purposeful forgetfulness. Yeah. That in the case of Mozambique, for example, or any country or any society, any place that's struggling with recuperating from these kinds of conflicts, that you have to forget some things and that you do it by choice, that you choose to forget what's happened in the past in order to move forward. And that's reflected in your writing and your characters.
Yeah. I think it's not just in that case in Mozambique or where you can find in very cruel wars, but nations are born from this forgetfulness, from this oblivion. And our history, our official history of our countries and our societies are made of forgetfulness. So I think it's a kind of to be conscient that we are deciding to forget. And of course, in Mozambique, it's a big decision because we're trying to forget everything that happens during that period. And I think there's a mixture between this is a wise decision. This is not really a decision. It was taken silently by everybody. And because those guys are conscient that the tensions are still there. So it's a kind of a Pandora box. If they open it, it will come again, the war. But at the same time, we need to remember. We need to be able to remember. So I think literature can help on this kind of the way coming back, not to point fingers, not to to have a guilty position, but to be free to visit those recent times.
That's so being able to remember but not have that tension is obviously one of the world's greatest dilemmas. Yeah. And that's often because forgiveness isn't part of the picture. So when you talk about forgetfulness, that we forget what happens, and then there's the cost of not remembering what happens. But what if you work into that? This issue of forgiveness. You don't forget, maybe, but you forgive. And then that way you can remember and not have that tension and those lingering, issues that if you open that Pandora's box, there it is all over again. Is that, from your experience, are we need to remember the forgiveness part?
You see, it's happening in Mozambique in a very underground situation. People are, you know, those who have participated in the killings and the massacres, they have been chosen to have some kind of traditional therapy. So they act with traditional healers, with witch doctors, and the way they do it is like those religions that are still alive in Mozambique are more important than this monotheistic religions. So the concept of forgiveness should be related to these kind of values that are more present in this. And the way it works is that you are during these therapeutic sessions, let's say, you are considered that you were not you. You are not really yourself when you did that. Okay, so there's a kind of really reinitiation of the person to be another.
So maybe on a related issue, you've also said much about women, the role of women in society, and clearly female characters have played a significant role in your work. But along these lines of forgetting, remembering, forgiveness in particular, I mean, you've said that women, that their role is so crucial in reshaping culture and society, and that their role in encouraging peace, yeah, you know, in particular in Mozambique after 16 years of war. You've said that women don't have a tribe, yeah, you know, meaning they kind of transcend these boundaries. The role of women are they critical to this process? And
of course.
And really, perhaps, should we not be looking maybe to women to help us, yeah, engage, yeah, in this process of reconciliation?
Course. Yeah. No, of course. You see, I'm a writer because I became a writer in my kitchen when I was a child, because my mother and, you know, my aunts and friends were using that kitchen as a kind of a magic space. And while they were cooking, they are kind of, that was a magical dance, and they were telling stories. And they're telling stories not in a loud voice. So I think I discovered the magic of, you know, listening and telling stories. And that's in that moment. And I think in Mozambique we have a very violent society, men against women. And I think men are afraid because they cannot deny that women are creating stories. So they want to take it out, the stories from that women. And so women can be reconstructing that time that is lost, the time of the war, creating stories and telling stories about that period.
And reaching out across different societies within Mozambique, yeah, and within, yeah, I mean, in any society that's dealing with reaching out to other locations.
I think they will create those bridges that are still missing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mia Koto, thank you so much for being here today. Congratulations once again. You've really given us some insight into a country that we don't often talk about around the world and is often forgotten, yeah, in terms of its history and past. So thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you very much.